This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A federal judge has given the Trump administration a deadline for reunifying families that had separated the U.S.-Mexico border under its so-called zero-tolerance immigration policy. Under the court order, federal border authorities have to reunite separated families within 30 days. Children younger than five must be reunited with their parents within 14 days. The Trump policy on illegal border crossings resulted and some 2,000 children separated from their families as adults face legal proceedings. Many of those children are staying in detention facilities. Still, questions remain about how the federal government actually plans to reunite them. KUT reporter Mose Bushell has been reporting in the Rio Grande Valley. He talked with Texas Standard's host, David Brown.
The government said it can't put them back together while the parents are in detention.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge has said that the parents can't be deported before they're reunited.
Mm-hmm.
So the only avenue then would be to release the parents and children and allow them to reunite in the U.S. but outside of detention. That's my read on what I'm seeing from this.
But outside of detention, you're saying?
If what the government is saying is true, if these families, if they don't have the capacity to reunite these people in detention, then that, it seems to me, would be the only way it would be possible.
But of course, we've been hearing about the possibility that there might be new detention centers, new holding centers, opening up at a couple of military bases in Texas, Fort Bliss, and I believe Dyess in Abilene. Could those be used, perhaps?
That could be another option, if they were to go that avenue.
How do you see this playing forward?
You know, it's still so chaotic and kind of changing so rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing more and more lawyers rush into the Rio Grande Valley area where I was reporting from.
Mm-hmm.
The ACLU is down there now. They're starting to organize with more local groups. Obviously, we're seeing lawsuits. We're also starting to see civil suits, you know, lawyers who have contacted individuals whose rights may have been denied.
That was KUT's Mose Bushell talking with the Texas Standard's David Brown. Here in North Texas, the Dallas City Council voted today to strengthen the city's dog ordinance. The Dallas Morning News reports an amendment establishes a criminal penalty for dog bites and clearly defines an aggressive dog. The vote follows recent dog attacks in southern Dallas, some of them resulting in serious injuries and death. In 2016, Army veteran Antoinette Brown was killed after being mauled by a pack of dogs. The City Council today also took on bike share companies. Council members approved regulations that will require bike and motor scooter operators to get permits. The Morning News reports the rules will also give operators time limits for collecting bikes and scooters after complaints are made to 311. Yesterday, the Supreme Court upheld President Trump's travel ban, which restricts travel from seven Muslim-majority countries to the United States. Sawad McKinnon is a correspondent for the Washington Post's National Security Desk, and today on Think, she talked with guest host Courtney Collins about how extremists could use the ban as a recruitment tool.
People are using very often the word Muslim travel ban, which, of course, as you know, has been one of the wordings used by the president and people around him in the past. And if you look at this from the perspective of those extremist groups, they are using the situation also in order to send out messages to Muslim communities, not only in the United States, but also in other Western countries, to say, look, this is here now the evidence that there's a war against Islam going on. So, you know, there's on one hand the ruling, but on the other hand, there is also the question, what does it mean? What does it mean for groups, for the Muslim community inside United States, but also how does the leadership of this country communicate about that?
Sawad McKinnon's memoirs called I Was Told to Come Along, My Journey Behind the Lines of Jihad. This episode of Think rears tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Back in October, the Dallas School District bought an apartment complex in Vickery Meadow with plans to build a new elementary school on the land. The tenants were given a deadline to move out by the end of June, and most of them have. Just a few months ago, though, the tenants, many of whom live on the financial edge, spoke out against Dallas ISD, demanding the district provide more relation assistance. KERA's Stephanie Kuo follows up with what demands were actually met.
This isn't the first time Maria has had to move because Dallas ISD wanted to build a new school. She says her family was forced out of a different apartment to make room for Sam Tasby Middle School in Vickery Meadow about a decade ago.
Si ya nos había pasado esto anteriormente.
Yes, this had happened to us before.
I was one of the tenants they didn't give even $1 to. I had to move out. We didn't get any kind of help. It's horrible because we're living the same experience. I said, here we go again. It's horrible. It's intense.
We're identifying Maria only by her first name. She fears retaliation because she's undocumented. Maria had lived at the North Park Terrace Apartments for nearly 5 years, and she became a vocal advocate for tenants' rights when the Dallas School District took over the property last October and began notifying the 300-plus tenants that they needed to leave. The district plans to build an elementary school on the land to accommodate overflow from nearby schools. Maria says the whole experience has been taxing.
The eviction was too much, too rushed. It was inconvenient because I couldn't find an apartment. They were very expensive. I searched for 2 to 3 months, but then we formed a group and made some demands.
In April, she says her fellow tenants, with the help of Legal Aid of Northwest Texas and the Texas Tenants Union, confronted Dallas ISD and the apartment management firm it contracted, DFW Advisors. They wanted more relocation compensation, more logistical support finding a new place, and just more money for their troubles. Advocates say the complex had fallen into disarray, there was confusion about move-out dates, and what many say was insensitivity over the displacement of hundreds of low-income people, many of them the district's own students. Scott Lane is the deputy superintendent of operations for Dallas ISD. He says the district came to a fairly swift agreement on many of their demands.
Compensation, originally it was $1,200, and we went with $5,250. Which I believe is the federal rate for relocation.
Among other things, the district also paid tenants up to nearly $860 extra dollars in moving costs and took off a couple $100 in rent in April and May to cover unresolved maintenance issues. Supa Wandler visited as an attorney at Legal Aid of Northwest Texas. She says many of the tenants consider this mostly a success. She says the district didn't make concessions about changing some of its development policies.
Dallas ISD says often that it cares about socioeconomic and racial equity, and that, you know, housing policy is school policy. So amending their site selection policy, their relocation policy, would be the way to show that they're going to make good on those public commitments and to ensure that something like this does not happen again.
Scott Lane with Dallas ISD says what the district will do is make sure compensation packages are in keeping with federal guidelines. He says there's not a lot of urgency to do so, though, because the district doesn't have any plans to buy residential property as part of the current bond program. In the long term, Lervisit says the issue is far bigger than the school district.
As the housing market tightens, we expect to see more of this happening. So one bigger picture thing that we are looking into at Legal Aid is just the relocation process.
That's welcome news for Maria, who Lervisit says is at a higher risk of being displaced again, given her immigration status and low income. Maria is out of the North Park Terrace Apartments now, and she's still in Vickery Meadow. It was a struggle to find a two-bedroom apartment she could afford.
The truth is, I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. It was difficult moving from that apartment to this one, to move again, pay rent again, set up utilities again. My contract is for 1 year. We'll see.
The amenities and the security are better at her new place, she says, but it's substantially more expensive, $200 more a month, and it's still not home to her. Stephanie Kuo, KERE News.
Coming up tomorrow morning, the Nigerian film industry, known as Nollywood, is the established hub of the African film world. This weekend, though, North Texas audiences will get a chance to see movies made in Cameroon, Ghana, Uganda, and other countries across the continent. A big screen team has this preview of the African Film Festival. A conversation tomorrow morning at 8:23 during Morning Edition. And high temperatures and no rain in the forecast mean some North Texas counties are under burn watch. The Texas A&M Forest Service's Wise, Parker, Hood, and Jackson counties are all at risk of wildfires. Fire weather concerns increase today through Saturday along and west of Interstate 35. This is KERA News.